So we only have about 25 minutes. There are no handouts. I was told at 5:30 last night that Paul was sick and asked if I can take over the class. So I have a class that's been prepared. I do the same financial counseling class for anybody who comes to me for financial counseling. So this, it's not like I'm shocked to do this, but I don't have any handouts. I think for the plan we were going to work on, Paul was supposed to talk about financial planning this week, and then I was doing debt the next 2 weeks, and then we were doing budgeting the last 3 weeks. So I'm going to go through some financial planning steps. Even though financial planning is the long-range end of the goal, it's good to know what you're looking for before you start getting into the nitty-gritty details. So let's pray, and then we'll get started. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for this day. I pray that you would bless this time, that you would guide us in managing our money as you have called us to. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. There are four steps. Four steps to financial planning. Summarize your present financial situation. Okay? Sounds easy, but it takes effort to know where you stand. I said this time and time again, if you plan to fail, you fail to plan. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Whichever one that is. Okay? Establish your financial goals. Okay? Anybody in business knows that you need goal setting. You need to establish a plan. You need to know where you want to be if you're going to get there. Okay? Plan to increase your cash flow margin. Does anybody understand what who does not understand what that means? Plan to increase your cash flow margin. Explain it, okay? What you try to plan for is that as time goes on, you have more and more and more cash to do with what you want to do, okay? In other words, unlike Southern Californians, when you finally believe that you're in a good financial position, you go and buy a bigger house so you're so tight with your finances that for the next 5 years, you're living on the edge. And then when you're not living on the edge anymore, you go and buy a bigger house or buy more toys, okay? What the plan is be content and satisfied with where you are and have the resources available to be able to plan for your future, okay? And last but not least, which is the hardest, and that's why the next 2 weeks are on debt, control your cash flow, okay? And when we do the next, the last 3 weeks of budgeting, we'll work on how to control your cash flow. And I've done this one before, but it's really important to do this one again. Guarantee financial success. Can you guarantee financial success? John says no, even though he's not saying no. John says no. Karen says no. Ray says yes. You can guarantee your financial success. In three ways. Understanding that God owns it all. Right? We are not owners of our resources. We are but stewards. Okay? Secondly, a hard thing for somebody like me to live by. This is actually the most difficult phase of money management for a person like me. Money is never an end in itself. Right? It is just a resource to accomplish our goals and objectives. Okay, everybody, does everybody understand that? Okay, when we talk about budgeting, we talk about financial planning, we don't talk about how much money we're going to have at the end. We talk about the resources we have available to perform what we need to perform, to live the way we need to live, to honor God the way we need to honor God. Right? A lot of people out there, money is the end. Okay, how much money can I make? He who has the most toys wins. Okay? And last but not least, how do you become rich? spend less than you earn for a long period of time, and you will be financially successful. Now, people are looking at me saying, well, no, you're not going to be rich. Yes, you are. I never said you're going to be wealthy. I said you're going to be rich, which means you are going to be rich in contentment, rich in the love of the Lord, rich in the resources that He has provided you, if you follow His plan and His goal and His guidelines. Okay? Now, when we talk about spending and we start talking about budgeting and everything, we'll be talking about discretionary spending. Okay? Can somebody define for me discretionary spending? Yes, ma'am. Yes, Karen. Yes, my love.
Discretionary spending is spending that you can change.
Spending that you can change. Okay? What place in your family budget can you only change discretionary spending? John's looking. John, you can see the cogs going in the brain.
You're saying there's
a certain fixed expenses.
You do. So which one is not fixed?
Groceries.
Yes, that's part of it.
Gas and electric.
That's part of it.
Gas and electric.
Lifestyle. Lifestyle. Okay? You will hear from me that tithing is fixed. I may become controversial on this, but I have a firm opinion on what God says about tithing. Taxes are fixed. If you have debt, debt is fixed. You pay back what you owe. When it comes to lifestyle, lifestyle is variable. Okay? You can have cable TV. And if you don't have the money, you can short yourself on food. That's where you can make your changes. So we'll talk about that also. Okay? Now, there are three basic principles to control your cash flow. Okay? The first one is that money is pre-allocated. In other words, have a budget. Know where the money is going. If you don't know where your money is going, it's gone. Okay? There are certain people, whoever they may be, that cannot use a credit card. They're just not capable because they cannot keep within a spending limit. There are certain people that cannot keep cash in his wallet. Okay? Mostly still, I used to keep $3 in my wallet. $3 in my wallet. Why $3? Because back then there were no cell phones, so you needed money for a payphone if you got stuck on the freeway, so I kept $3. I never kept more because if I kept more, Starbucks was right around the corner. Okay? Or lunch. Just go out to lunch, which I don't do, but so I can't keep cash in my wallet. So a lot of people can. They can keep it there and it'll sit there for weeks. No big deal. But you need to know how to pre-allocate the funds that you have so that you can live within your means. Aha. This is new to a lot of people. Spending always stops when the well runs dry. I'm going to tell this story. Did I tell the story about me counseling back in Texas when I did my seminar? Did my seminar in Texas, and I said this before. I used to read the meter on our home.
Oh, yeah.
Used to read the meter, and I told this to an audience, and a lady stood up, and she called me an ogre. Why? How could I do that to my wife? How could I be so cheap? It's easy. I'm a cheapskate. No, I'm not the federal government. If it doesn't come in, it doesn't go out. Pure and simple. Okay? Because when you start getting yourself into a debt situation, you will find the financial pain it is to get out of it. And it is much more painful than you may believe because You not only have to reduce your spending down to what you thought, down to what your living is, but you have to go even lower to pay off the debt. Okay? So spending always ends when the well runs dry. Last but not least, always have a current awareness of your financial situation relative to your plan situation. In other words, if you do a budget, review it. Live by it. Work through it. Okay? Nice things about budgets, budgets are flexible, right? If I budget $500 for groceries and I budget $100 for medical, and that month medical comes through and it only costs me $50, I have $50 extra to save or pay off debt, or if I need to buy more groceries, I can make those switches as long as I live within my means. Okay? Any questions so far? Comments? Concerns? Yes, sir.
Everybody who does not have a credit card cuts themselves short because you get at least, you can get at least 1% cash back. So why use cash when you get percentage back?
I'll tell you why. Because statistically, a person who uses a credit card on an annual basis will spend 33% more than he did if he would spend cash. That is a statistic that Ron Blue verified.
All you need is discipline.
That's right. Takes a lot of discipline. And some people don't have discipline. So that 1% cash back is actually costing them money. Okay, for me, personal opinion, I could use a credit card all day long. We have our credit cards on automatic payment. Okay, at the 15th of every month, the credit card company comes into my bank account and just pulls everything. No big deal to me. A lot of people can't do that. A lot of people, once that credit card starts hitting, it's like a dream come true. Let me tell you this story. I was going to tell this story in depth, but I'm going to tell it now because it is so critically important. I counseled a family, this family. By the time they came to me, they had two mortgages on their home. They were mortgaged, I can't remember how much, and three credit cards which were maxed. Could not put another dollar on any of the credit cards. And they came to me. And I said, very easy. Change your lifestyle. Well, how can we? Sell your home. Sell your home, pay off your debt, pay off your credit cards, live in a smaller place. So they did. And I said, if you want my counseling, you have to do another thing. What do we have to do? You have to cut your credit cards up. Right in front of me. Okay, we'll do it. Then I'll counsel you. So they did. And they bought a mobile home. Free and clear. Out of debt. 100% out of debt. In 1 year. 1 year, that mobile home was mortgaged to 100% of its value, and they had three credit cards maxed. Okay? So it's not easy for some people to live within spending on using things like credit cards and debt. Okay? Another example I'm going to give you is I was in the airport one day. This was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And the guy was renting a car. And he pulls out his wallet, and it wasn't a wallet, it was just a credit card holder. And he had a stack, had to be 15 credit cards. And he gave the entire stack to the lady. And he said two words. Find one. She slipped through. How many credit cards before she found the one that had money on it? 15. His last credit card was available to rent the car. I just stood there and I was flabbergasted. But a lot of people can't handle credit cards. So, yes and no. We get miles on ours. Just the same thing. So we use it for everything. Okay. But I can't keep $3 in my wallet. Yes, sir.
It seems to me what you're describing are really hard situations.
Absolutely.
That there are issues that the people need to wrestle spiritually or whatever. And first at the airport, you don't know about the regenerate state of that son, but the other family, maybe they were believers or something.
They are.
But there's really heart issues here. They're not financial issues separate from heart issues.
Correct. Absolutely. You can't separate the two. And it's also an attitude of I have to have it now, as opposed to I will sacrifice for the future. Right? Okay? Five steps in a cash control situation. Cash control system. Okay, first thing you have to do is estimate your living expenses. Pardon me? How to control your cash. Yes, a budget. Okay? Estimate your living expenses. Okay? This should be done on an annual basis. At the beginning of the year, you can pretty much sit down. It probably wouldn't take you more than an hour and a half to find out what you believe it's going to cost you to live for the year. All of your fixed expenses, things that cannot change. Mortgages, tithing, if you know what your salary basically is. Taxes, and if you're an employee, you don't have to worry about that because you're just pulling your net anyway, so if you can just know what your net is, okay? And then all of your living expenses, which are not fixed, a lot of which are not monthly, so you need to know what your car insurance is, what your homeowner's insurance is, all of these things. And you need to see what you think it's going to cost you to live on an annual basis. Okay? And then you break it down into a budget. Again, the last 3 weeks, we're going to be going through this in a lot of detail. And I want to get from you guys a lot of questions. And there's a lot of people out there that have a lot of great ideas. When I do financial counseling, and I do it with a husband and a wife, there's a person that comes with me if the husband and wife agree. And it's my wife. Because she knows so much more about saving money on things around our home than I do. So I can't counsel the people, but she can. Okay? Second thing, after you estimate your expenses, you record what actually happens. You have to actually sit down and go through what you've spent. Okay, Daphne showed me a great system she has. It's an insert to their checkbook, and instead of just writing the check number and who it was paid to, there's about 10 columns across where you can put the budgeted line items, and then you just record it right there, right in your checkbook register. Don't even have to go on an Excel file like I love to do. Okay?
Yeah, I downloaded one.
Third thing you need to do is you need to establish a monthly budget. You need to. Okay? Unless you're Bill Greg Gates, and it doesn't matter how much you spend because you can never spend what you've earned, we need a budget. We need to control the budget. Okay? And then every time, evaluate and revise. So you just don't do a budget and you say, well, that's it, what it is. No, you revise it. Yes, sir.
What's the difference between number two and number three? Number two was record what actually happens. Then you said establish a monthly budget.
Right.
So a monthly budget must be different than just record keeping.
The budget is actually what you plan on doing for that month. Okay.
It's a goal.
A budget is a goal. Okay, recording what actually happens is one of two things. Okay, when you record what actually happens and you track it, it helps you to understand your habits and helps you to control your spending. Okay, the other thing it helps you to do is to see where you stand with regard to how much money you have left. Okay, there is it's not a joke. It's actually, somebody actually said this. I must have money left in my checking account because I still have checks left. Okay?
Your kid says.
Okay? Okay, let's talk about setting financial goals. A goal provides direction and purpose. Okay? It is the finish line. It's where you want to get to. Okay? It helps us to determine our choices. Because we do have a lot of choices, right? Let's say, for example, you've done your financial goal and you see that you can be able to pay off your mortgage in 5 years. What are you going to do with that money in 5 years? How about Karen and myself? We're down to one son left in college. Every time a child leaves college, that's a raise. Every time your child gets married, that's a bigger raise. Because now that's on the husband or the wife. My shoulder is now straight again because I'm not carrying that burden anymore. Okay? So you need to know how you're going to respond to those things that are coming up in your life. Okay? Otherwise, circumstances, people, feelings are going to determine where you wind up. He has a BMW. I've got money. I want one. He has a house in Rancho Santa Fe. I've got money. I want to live in La Jolla. Okay? Feelings, circumstances. We can't be driven by those. They'll send us to financial ruin. Okay? Goals help us crystallize our thinking. Okay? That's an easy one. Goals provide personal motivation. Especially, I won't name names, for a Daphne, who is anal retentive, obsessive compulsive, like me. Personal motivation. Okay? And the last, by definition, a goal is a statement of God's will for me. And I get that from Philippians 3:14. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Okay? So in other words, when we're doing our goals, we're doing them meditating on God's will for our life, meditating on His Word, because, right, God's Word answers all aspects of our life. He may not tell us how to do heart surgery, but His Word tells us all the answers to financial questions. There are more verses about finances in the Bible than any other subject, over 2,000 verses. Okay, Larry Burkett has written a whole book on it, the one that I gave at the beginning, all the verses. Okay? Goals are stated as future objectives, and only who knows the future? Only God knows the future. When I set a goal, I like this quote. When I set a goal, I have implicitly made a statement that said, God willing, I believe I should achieve the following. Otherwise, for a Christian, a goal is a presumption. Everybody understand what that means? Okay? If you believe you know what's going to happen based on the goal that you're setting, you're presuming on the future as opposed to believing in God for the future. Okay? I could get this one done, Pastor Mark. Why we don't set goals. Okay? This is where I'll end. We fear failure. Okay? And this excuse is ludicrous. Because a Christian, in the mere act of becoming a Christian, has admitted his inability to govern his or her life. Okay? Right? The non-Christian says, I can do this, I can do that, I'm going here, I'm going there, I've built these barns, they're not big enough, I'm going to tear them down, the crops are great, I'm going to build bigger barns, great is me. The non-Christian says, the Lord willing. Right? We all know that the Lord is the controller of our lives. Okay? The false assumption that goal setting may take a great deal of time. An annual goal probably could take about 2 hours. Monthly budgets, 20 minutes to do the budget, 15 to 20 minutes a week to keep yourself up to how you're doing against your budget. Okay? So it's not a great time waster. And last but not least, we don't know what goals to set. We don't know how to set them. Okay? These two are legitimate reasons for not setting goals, but they're not reasons not to set goals. They're just reasons why we don't. Okay? So if we don't know how to set goals, what do we do? How do we learn? Ask for advice. Ask for advice. Okay? Ask your elders. Ask your deacons. Ask your elders or your deacons if they know anybody that knows how to set goals, right? Elders and deacons are not there to do everything. They're there to find the people who are expert in the things that you need, right? So ask. Okay? My hourly rate is very fair and equitable. I've tripled it in the last 5 years, but it's still fair and equitable. It's hovering just around zero. Okay? Then you need any help or you want any advice?
No, pizza. Bag of M&Ms.
Bag of M&Ms. I'm sorry. That's right. It was a bag of M&Ms. Okay? So if you don't know how to do these things, you ask for advice. Yes, sir.
Little piece of experience that we had, when we come advanced in our life for where we have paid off our house, we made a decision to immediately refinance and use that money, that was the low interest rate, we refinance it with a higher interest rate to the investment. So you got a 1.5-2% difference between what you invested and what you have to pay out. That's 1.5% gain. So when you paid off your house, invest.
Invested by refinancing? I don't get
that. I'm not saying anything because I'm going to get into that one too next week, but I would strongly disagree. I will strongly disagree.
On account of what?
On account of your refinancing, unless, how long are you getting that extra money for?
30 years, 20 years.
No. No, you have no idea in the future what interest rates are going to do. So you have your fixed interest rate on your house, but you have no idea what interest rate you're getting on the savings that you're getting or whatever you're putting it in. Okay, and if you're putting it in anything other than a guaranteed account that guarantees a certain rate, you're presuming that the market will always do better than what you're paying.
There are guaranteed rates available.
Correct. For how long?
Lifetime.
Well, wait a minute. At your age, there may be. Not at my age. I can get 30-day, 60-day, 90-day, 6-month, 1-year, 5-year, 10-year. I can't guarantee a rate.
7% minimum for as long as you keep it in your account.
Well, I need to find that account because I'll do it.
ING.
No.
I would highly recommend against it. But that's okay.
Can't hear back here.
Pardon me?
No, I just said, that's an online bank.
Oh.
Yeah. That's all. I've seen their website.
It's a Dutch online bank.
It's a Dutch online bank.
Just
had to say something in terms and why.
I will highly recommend against borrowing to earn money in excess of what you're borrowing. But that's because you're in debt. That's a personal opinion. Once my house is paid off, I am taking a bunch of friends of mine. We're going down to the beach. We're having a bonfire.
If you figure that the amount that you're in debt is more than covered by the equity you have in your house.
Your debt is a guaranteed rate. Your interest that you're earning is cannot be guaranteed forever. They cannot guarantee it forever, even though they say they can. If they go belly up and you have more than $100,000 in that account, you lose everything in excess of $100,000 is not insured.
Also, you can't guarantee the equity in your house. There are times when our house values plummet.
Correct.
To the market.
Yeah.
That's a very dangerous game for many people to play because they're not going to take all the money and just put it into an investment. They're going to spend it.
Well, you mentioned that you had a bonfire. You didn't burn the deed.
No, no, no. I didn't have a bonfire. I'm going to. It's about 7 years out, but it's going to be the mortgage. When we pay off our mortgage, we're taking the mortgage down to the beach and having a bonfire and burning the mortgage. I mean, the mortgage.
Time's up. Those that inherit what I have, I need the paperwork.
Oh, you have to keep the deed, yes. Yes. No, you don't want to burn the deed.
Are we going to have steak at that bonfire?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Because I don't have to make that payment anymore, so I'm going to have extra money to buy you steak.
I'll pray for you, brother.
Anybody else have any questions?
There are always incidental things that come up that you didn't plan on.
Right.
God sometimes... little Jew was something that you didn't plan on, but sometimes it's your mistake. Sometimes God just allows it.
It's just a test. It could be a test, or he just allows it. Yes, absolutely. Any other questions? Okay, next 2 weeks are mine, and I will be getting into debt. Okay, I'm going to try to hold the debt down to 2 weeks. Okay? It sounds like that's not a hard thing to do, but it is.
Can I get out of debt in 2 weeks too?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
No.
I didn't say that. Okay, let's pray and then dinner, right? Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for this day. I pray that you would give us wisdom, Lord, to how to handle the finances in life, how to handle what you have given to us, how to handle everything that you provide to us, everything you bring our way, in contentment. I do pray for this day that you would bless this day to us, especially this meal as it comes. In Jesus' name, amen.